Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and we're here today indoors. Once again, it's windy, rainy, and it's unsuitable for outdoor podcasting. And what I want to share with you today is something that, it's a little personal, but it's also, I think it's really important for everyone to hear it. About 50% of all my clients are faced with a very common dilemma, and that may be pre-filtering, which means people with this dilemma approach me, or it just may mean that it's an incredibly common problem amongst people. And I wanted to share that with you today, so that maybe you'll reflect on it a little bit yourself. So, being master of your own ship, there is two aspects of it. One is when we're drowning, we realize that we need to improve, and that's a really cool thing. So when we're drowning, we realize that, which is in a sense being in some level of stress or discomfort or not fulfilling our obligations to those that measure us and pay us or whatever or love us. We realize that we're really in a difficult place. Now, the thing that 50% of my clients have in common is that they serve two gods. They serve the work god. Here, do this, do that, get this done, be this, achieve this, set this standard, arrive here, get this work done. And then they serve another god, which is called their spouse or family, as we might want to put it. So they start serving the needs and the obligations and the demands of their spouse or their family or their home life. Now, these are ultimately self-imposed gods. We choose the work god because we want to get ahead at work, and we choose the family god because we don't want to have struggle at home. Serving two gods is, if you have ever seen a movie about it, is the same as tying one arm to a horse and another arm to another horse and telling the horse to giddy up. You're being pulled in two directions. Every time a person goes to work and really starts to serve their work god, the other horse goes, "Hey, what about me? What about us? What about this? What about that?" And this crisis, this two-god crisis, is it creates codependency on a spouse because there's a collaboration that takes place inside the home. And when the person at home feels like work is drawing their partner out from their codependency, then they feel like there's a competition. And they too start to feel like they're being or they're drowning. And this none of this is good. So when people try to sort this problem out, and that's what the feedback I get from observing people, they try to even harder, they work harder to please both. They work harder to be a good partner at home, and they work and a good parent or whatever it is they've committed to at home, and they work harder to deliver results at work and serve the master at work. But there's not a solution in this, because that's just like whipping the two horses and saying, "Come on, giddy up," and having your arms pulled further apart. There used to be, back in the old Viking days, that used to be a known torture horse. It was called hung, drawn, and quartered, or something like that. So it isn't a competition between somebody at home and somebody at work, even though somebody at home or somebody at work might perceive it to be a competition of competing forces between those two. The solution is one God. And that one God is not the God in heaven, it's yourself. And that self, which needs to be valued and needs to be acknowledged and needs to be prioritized, is a vision, is an inspiration and a purpose. Now, it's not a search for pleasure. It's not a search for goodness. It's not achievement of goals. All those things fall beneath the vision, inspiration, purpose of an individual. When we suddenly say, I don't serve the home God, I don't serve the work God, I serve a vision, inspiration, and purpose, there is only one God. Now, we have a quote in the work that I do. It's called Change One, Change All. You may even know the podcast we do called Change One, Change All. And the byline of my work throughout the world is changing the world one heart at a time. Now, why do I say that? And why have we got these bylines and quotes and sound bites that we use, change one, change all, or changing the world one heart at a time? We use them because we believe this, and we've proven it. And I've proven it over, I think, 680,000 people that I've impacted with the work of VIP, Vision, Inspiration, Purpose. And it goes like this. When you change, the world changes around you. And if you get a vision, inspiration, and purpose that's strong enough, suddenly your spouse will not perceive that they are competing with your work. In other words, they won't see other people or your boss or something as a threat to their domestic comfort or zone. There will not be a competition between going on holiday and going to work. Why? Because those two things aren't polar opposites. What is polar opposite is the sense of obedience to two separate gods. What is the solution is to have a vision, inspiration, purpose that you are addicted to, that you're in love with, that you follow relentlessly. And then what we've experienced is when an individual individualizes and understands their personal commitment to the world and understands their commitment to self, everybody changes around them. Their work changes and their domestic life changes. It's no longer a battle, no longer a fight. And I think this is really important. Now, it's not just a matter of 5 minutes doing a vision, inspiration, purpose process. You can speak to any man over the age of 50, and they will be told through doctors and whoever it is to go and have their prostate checked. They've entered the bell curve of probability of a cancer in the prostate. And that means that they have to either have some blood taken, which has a low accuracy at the present time, or have the doctor's finger stuck up their bum so that the doctor touches the prostate, which has a very high level of accuracy and a very high level of discomfort for most. And so the process of detecting or preventing prostate cancer is one of early checking, early prevention, early intervention. But what most men will do over the age of 50, rather than have a blood test or a finger stuck up their bum, they will wait till they stop peeing properly and wait until their prostate starts to jam up, and then they'll go, that doesn't feel right, and they'll wait another year because they don't want the discomfort of a blood test or a finger up their bum. They wait another year until prostate cancer starts to erode their body from top to bottom, and then they'll go and have it checked. So vision, inspiration, and purpose is not a finite thing. It's a daily check-in. Am I on track? 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 It is not the obligation to a family or a career, but more how to serve them both beautifully while serving self. And what you find is the work and the family life improves exponentially because the two are no longer competing. The two are no longer in direct opposition to each other. The individual says, I don't need a holiday. I don't need a time out. I don't need time off. I'm doing my holiday. I'm living my holiday. I'm doing my vision, inspiration, purpose. I'm doing what I love and I'm loving what I do. And the flow down from that, the way it impacts children and spouses and performance at work is absolutely incredible. Now, this VIP is called Inner Wealth. It's about tapping into your deeper sense of feeling, your deeper values inside yourself. And it, again, it is not just a finite piece of work where you go, I've got my VIP, everything will be fine. It's more like the prostate check. Or the thing that I get, because I'm over 50 every year, I get this massive packet that comes in my thing with in my letterbox with the words bowel check written all over it. And I've got to do a poo and take the spoon and scoop a bit of water up and stick it in this plastic container and screw the lid on as tight as I possibly can, nearly break my wrist so it doesn't leak, and post it back. And that's a prevention. And so you could call that a little anal retentive. But it is prevention. It's the way of doing things every single day to make sure you stay in VIP, make sure you stay in inner wealth, so you don't wait for competition or conflict between your home and your work, your spouse and your boss, or whatever it is in your life, your sport or whatever it is. You don't wait for them to go into fight with each other, fight flight. You stay focused on your VIP. And I promise, and for the thousands of clients that I've worked with, this is the solution to domestic problems. It is the solution to work stress. Find yourself. Find what you've been born for, a purpose greater than yourself. Develop a daily routine of prostate and bowel cancer checks. Whatever it is, pap smears and all these things, they're all done to catch things before they start. So to catch things in life before they start. Now, it's no different to servicing a car. You don't drive your car until it breaks and go, shit, I needed to put oil in the engine. You take it to the garage, they check it, they go, oh, you need oil, you need the maintenance, and you maintain it. Well, when we get busy, we start saying things like, I'll do it tomorrow. And when we get busy for 3 days in a row, the following week, our car doesn't work properly. So when we get busy and we say, I'm going to throw myself into my work for 3 days, I'm going to stop doing my maintenance. I'm going to stop doing my VIP. I'm going to stop doing my wake inspired. I'm going to stop doing back on track every day. I'm going to stop doing my evening closure process. I'm stop going to do the Madonna process for my daily routine and prioritization. Now, 3 days, I'm going to throw myself into my work. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, surprise, surprise, our whole following week goes to shit. And that's because we just gave up 3 days of maintenance on ourselves. It all reverts back to competition between work and home. It goes to tiredness. It goes to all the things that we want to avoid. It goes to stress and work performance drop. Because people smell it. People feel it when you're not committed to your vision, your inspiration, your purpose. They feel it when they talk to you. They feel it when they work with you. They feel whether you're on track or inspired or not inspired. They feel it. And these feelings are not one of the senses. This is an intuitive, powerful, intuitive human sense that we all have, but most people are ignorant of. But we get this thing around somebody, you go, yeah, I'm not sure you're really, you know, in the pocket. And then we feel like they're following us rather than leading us at work or at home. So what happens at home with a person who tries to please work and please home, there becomes a word called codependency. And that codependency is like trying to live life in a relationship. Have all your friendship in a relationship, have your advice in a relationship, have all your connection in a relationship, and it's not meant to be that way. Relationship is just 33% of life. The rest is your own vision, inspiration, and purpose. And that 33% of relationship thrives on, eats off, is fed by you following your vision, inspiration, and purpose. We don't wait for warning signs that you're off track. Once we get you back on track, once I coach you back on track and teach you the checklist that you go through every day as a micromanager, a system. So micromanaging means you develop a system. And that system is self-administrating. So micromanaging has a bad reputation because people waste their own managerial time managerialing someone else. But micromanaging means a system. We systematize how we manage people. Are you on track? Well, that's a question that comes by asking a person to fill out an hourly timesheet or a daily sales sheet or an hourly billable hours sheet. We micromanage people so that we don't have to. So micromanaging is a beautiful, beautiful process unless it wastes our time, unless we use time to do it. Tell me what you're doing. Are you on track? Where are you going? What are you doing? And we start to use our own valuable, sellable resource, which is our time, to actually double manage somebody else. So we take these checklists that we do for your VIP, and we take that checklist and we put it into a systematized process of checking, daily checking. Have you done your exercise? Have you done your morning wake inspired? Have you done your Madonna process? Have you done your VIP? Have you checked in? Have you looked at your dream board? Have you done your affirmations? Have you touched yourself in a beautiful, sacred, spiritual way by going out and walking in nature? When people don't do their poo tests, the bowel cancer test, or they don't do their finger up the bum prostate test, or they don't do their pap smears, they wait for the cancer to come on board to flag that they need help. Now, maybe once upon a time, 200 years ago, that was the only way. Maybe that was the way it was done. But these days we can do prevention rather than cure. Once a person has prostate cancer, they've reduced the probability of survival. So we're not talking about just games we play in life or, gee whiz, that was an accident. What we're talking about is reducing the probability of surviving prostate cancer down to about 30% if we wait for our piss to not come to the toilet really quickly when we go for a wee and wait for our prostate to swell up with cancer before we go, gee, doctor, I've got a problem. If we do pre-tests and we get it and they detect the cancer, there's about a 99.9% chance of cure, and very easily done, 6 weeks. So the VIP whole follow self, follow your vision, follow your inspiration, follow your purpose. The whole thing with Inner Wealth is to find this space in which you operate as a powerful and a beautiful and a loving individual in the world, from which your relationship and your work flow. And we, by doing that, we set up daily maintenance, daily checklists, daily micromanaging systems, daily compliance, so that you don't have to waste time micromanaging yourself. So if you waste time micromanaging yourself, you're like, oh, do I feel like exercise today? Oh, well, do I really need to do my emotional shower today? Oh, do I need to really look at my dream board today? How do I feel? Oh, I feel tired. I'm not going to do my Madonna process. Oh, I feel really sleepy. I'm going to stay in bed late this morning. Oh, I feel. And when we go to the I feel, we're basically going to symptom arrival diagnosis. So it's just exactly the same when we say, I'm going to run my day on how I feel. We're actually going to, well, when I feel like I can't piss, I better go to the doctor. And then you find out that, oh, you could have had this simply fixed 12 months ago if you had it just got had it checked. So we save ourselves time by not saying, how do I feel? Or what am I going to do today? Or what will I or won't I? There are maintenance things that need to be done to keep this body, mind, and spirit 100% engaged in self, in vision, inspiration, purpose. There are daily things we need to do to engage that, and they're checklist, and they prevent massive, costly human depressions and disasters and catastrophes. So it only takes me 30 days to get a catastrophe and a disaster back on track. It only takes me 30 days to help you do it. But once you're on track, it is absolute maintenance, absolute checklist, absolute prevention. And then you just need one or two coaching sessions a week to work through anything that might be disrupting your vision, inspiration, and purpose, and make sure you stay energized and committed and what we call give, gratitude, inspiration, vision, and enthusiasm. Make sure you stay in the zone. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.